Does everybody know what time it is? Just look behind you, you can find out. Somebody's trying to send a message. What are y'all laughing about? It's not me. Is it?
Did it work last week?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't hear. Oh, amen. Father, we just give you praise and thanks. We thank you that you are with us and in us and through us. And we don't even understand what that means. But we thank you as we look into your face and we look into your holy word, that we begin to know what that is and who we are and what you've done. And you did it from the very beginning. You began from the very beginning to create for yourself a people. And Father, today we thank you that we know who we are because of your promise and because of your word, which is revealed to us who you are in us and through us and for us. So today, Lord, we thank you that again, even living in this world and living with all of the things that come our way and come into our eyes, our ears, our senses, that we are daily being reminded of your presence and of your authority and of your indwelling Holy Spirit for those of us who have received the living God. So today as we gather together, and you've commanded us to do so, to hear and to encourage and to build up one another for prayers, breaking of bread, doctrine, and fellowship. So Father, you've commanded us to do these things so that we might live together in a living kingdom. That even though it does not yet appear in fullness on this earth, it appears among us. First of all, because we love one another. And so today we ask you, Lord, to reveal to us your word, speak to us again, cause us to be encouraged, built up, strengthened, and to know whose we are. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, let's turn over quickly to let's turn over to Acts chapter 17. Am I right here? Yep. Acts chapter 17. And then for your next item, go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. But we're going to start out in Acts chapter 17 for a moment. Last time we were together, we talked about the church, the letter to the church at Thessalonica, and the powerful testimony that the church at Thessalonica had among the surrounding region, surrounding areas, surrounding states like Athens and Achaia and what's the other one? Macedonia. And Lord, how the Lord began to use a local church filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Word of God to manifest His love and His glory throughout the region. Amen? That's what He was doing. That's what He uses the church for. That's why you're here. I said, that's why you're here. Amen. That's good. You get encouraged once in a while. That's why you're here. Not because of what you're going to do, but because of what the Holy Spirit does on the inside of you. Now, daily we have an expectation. Listen, daily we have an expectation of what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Amen? You have that? Say, yes, I do. Say that. You know, don't think about it. People want to think about that. Well, do I really think about it? Do I do it? What my encouragement to you is to agree with God's Word. To agree with what God says rather than examining yourself in such a way that says, well, that isn't me. And so what that does is cause you to backtrack and try to figure out what in the world you did wrong or what in the world you weren't doing properly. What you want to do is immediately, if you identify the fact that you don't feel like you're in the place where God wants you to be, is immediately go to the throne of God and begin to worship Him. Let Him convict you. Don't try to sort out what your problem is. Huh? Don't try to sort out what your problem is. Immediately go to the presence of the Lord and begin to open your mouth and worship God and thank Him for His manifest presence, His thanksgiving, His salvation, His sanctification, which we're going to talk about again today, His sanctification and what God is doing in you. Amen? See, always be joyful and expectant. That's what our hope is. Our hope is being joyful and expectant that what God promised, He is able to perform. Huh? This is exciting for me. I don't know about you. Maybe you need to move down closer. Maybe that'll help. You know, maybe fill up the first five rows. Is where you. The Holy Spirit's down here. I don't know if He's back there. You know, but He's back there with you. Praise the Lord. Maybe He's closing in on the middle. You think? Watch out. He's coming up behind you, April. He's coming up. It's great. Amen? You excited? Yes, you are. All right. God's good. Okay, look at Acts chapter, or what? Did I say Acts 17? Yeah. All right. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, you know, we got towns like that in Pennsylvania, I think. I don't think we have many in Texas. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, because they could pronounce it, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took to them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Now, who is that talking about? I love the King James. It's fun to read. I mean, so these are the Jews, right? These are the Jews. These are the religious guys. These are the guys who are, you know, the, I don't want to say what denomination, somebody would get offended, you know, of the prevailing denomination of the day. And Paul comes in to talk to them in their local church. And so they don't like what he's saying about Jesus, this new doctrine about Jesus. And so but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took to them, because a lot of people believed. There were several. Did you read the first verse? Verse 3? A bunch of people believed. He said, wait a minute, we're in trouble here. Took to them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That is, they went down to the local bar and picked up the hooligans and said, hey, you guys, we're going to pay you a little money to rough up the Jesus people. Isn't that funny how religious people would do that? Isn't that funny how religious people would do that? You ever found yourself wanting to do that as a religious person myself? And gathered together a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason, must have been one of the guys who believed, and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come here also. How about that? Those that have turned the world upside down. We already have a reputation, amen, of turning the world upside down. Or do we? Do you have a reputation of turning the world upside down? That's what we want. We want that reputation of turning the world upside, our world, the world that we live in, the people that we meet, turning them upside down, turning them topsy-turvy, changing their lives because we just show up. Amen? When you show up, is the world changed? The world you are a part of? Is that world changed? Amen. Say it. Amen. This is not like, okay, come on, do better. No, that's not it. No. What the message is what God has done, let Him finish. So, because you're going to show up there anyway, right? Wherever it is you show up, you pretty much show up there pretty regularly. Wherever you go pretty regularly. By and large, most people have kind of a routine. And so when you show up, You were always ready with a word from God. Why? Because you've spent time with God, not because you prepared something, but because you have always got some, because you're always with Him. And when He is always with you, He is always speaking to you. And you always have a word in season. Do you believe that? Say yes. See, that works. Amen. Just say yes. See, if you begin to say yes when God is speaking, that and the fact that God is always speaking, and you begin to say yes every single morning, every single day, not expecting that you're supposed to come up with something, but that God is through you going to manifest His work, going to manifest His finished product. Amen? That's what He's doing. So here we're talking about what they were doing in Thessalonica, and of course now we're going to move to the, in a moment, going to move to the letter, the first letter that He wrote to the Thessalonians. Of course, He's been gone for a while, and so now He is writing them back. This is a very short story here in Acts chapter 17, and it talks about how they basically went in there in three Sabbath days, 3 weeks, they began to minister the Word of God and the love of Jesus and the new covenant to the Jews that were in that place. And many believed. And of that many, Jason is one name that we have. And of that group, there came a church. And the last time we were together, if you want to read chapters 1 and 2, how Paul was excited about the fact that the name of that church and the people in Thessalonica were already known in Macedonia and in Achaia. They were known in Upper Greece, Lower Greece, in places across the Aegean Sea. They were known that that church had a reputation of walking in the love of God and walking in the in talking about the power of God in through Jesus Christ to the areas around about them. In fact, Paul would show up, and they would, and the people in those other communities would say, "Hey, have you heard of this? We've heard of some folks over in a place called Thessalonica. Do you know them?" And Paul was just he was excited. He was excited because he didn't have to tell them about the Thessalonians. They told him. You know, we have some people. We have some folks in various parts of the world, in Uganda and in New Zealand, that actually they tell people about us. Thank God. That's powerful. It's powerful to have a reputation, but it doesn't just have to be, you know, Pastor Jim. How about it just has to be you? Amen? When you travel, when you go, wherever you go, God is using you. And the encouragement that I want to give you, really, more than anything, is that to be expectant, that God uses you every single day, and that you're not having to work up to it. Amen? That you're not having to work up to it, but as you read the Word of God and as you fellowship with Him, He begins to move in you and transform you and begins to use you on a regular basis. Are you excited about that? Ooh, good. Amen. Okay, so let's move off of here. Oh, well, I'll go ahead and finish reading this portion. In chapter 17 of Acts, verse 7, whom Jason has received these people who turned the world upside down, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. So they're going to pull the king card and try to get him in trouble that way. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason, they charged him bail to let him out. So he bailed. He had to bail out of jail. And so they took security of Jason and of the other, and they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. You're going to do the same thing again. That got him in trouble the last time. But they keep doing the same thing. Amen. Let's look over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Hallelujah. All right. First Thessalonians chapter 3. He is finishing up in the second chapter talking about how the last verse in verse 20, he says, "For you are our glory and joy." These are the disciples at Thessalonica. It's Paul's description of them, or his encouragement to them is, "You are our glory and joy." Amen. And that's you. You are our glory and joy. Those of us who are preaching to you and teaching you, you're our glory and joy. We're excited about you and about your growth and about your love for the Lord. And because you're changing the world. Not because it's you know, doing something, you know, for us other than the fact we're encouraged by that. Because that's what we're here for. That's our calling, is to encourage you. There are others here that's their calling, to encourage you in the Lord and to build you up. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "Wherefore, for that reason, when we could no longer endure or forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith." So, apparently, obviously, they travel in a team, and apparently Silas may or may not have been in Athens at the time with Paul, but he's being left at Athens alone, sending his only assistant and helper, whom he has great confidence in, Timothy, the young man, and he's sending Timothy to the Thessalonians to do what? To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So he's talking about his own afflictions as one who is a beloved discipler and mentor to the church and pastor and apostle. And he is talking about the fact that he is being buffeted and persecuted in these many places. And they get letters. They get letters that are brought to them saying, "Well, Paul's in trouble again. He got beat last week and he got put in jail the week before that." And so, but to encourage them and to hold them up so that what? They not be moved by these things. All right? So that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now again, the afflictions are those things coming against Paul. "For you yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." Okay, now taking those scriptures, I want to look back over at John chapter 16. John, the Gospel of John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. And again, the heart of God is that you not be discouraged by those who are suffering persecution. And Jesus began to say this over in John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. I'm going to turn there with you so that we're on the same page here. This is during the period of the Last Supper when Jesus was speaking to them. And if you look at the chapters 13 through 17, you might want to write that down. 13 through 17, if you don't know, you should. Been around here long enough, you know that, because Pastor Jim will preach on those 1 year apiece, you know, 13 through 15, 17. Now, in these particular passages, John 13 through 17, is where Jesus begins to prepare the disciples for his departure and for the next phase of the church, which is the fact that they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to take the place of Jesus as their guide and their comforter, because he talks about it in 14, 15, and 16, and then finally talks about their relationship with the Father is going to be the same as Jesus has in the 17th chapter. So as we're looking at those chapters, if you'll read them, they show you exactly what you and I are operating under. The disciples, they had operated under the fact that Jesus was with them. Things were about to change. And they were the first ones to operate as you and I do, with the Holy Spirit indwelling them, teaching them, leading them, guiding them, rather than following a man around. All right? So now, he says this in verses 32 and 33. Behold, the hour comes is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So he's acknowledging this to them, that trouble's going to come and you guys are going to run. Verse 33, though, he actually is an encouragement. He says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but cheer up. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So here, Jesus has already told them the fact that persecutions are going to come. Trouble is going to come. If you look back at John 15, one chapter over. Let's see if I got that one right. Oh, yeah. John 15:20. He says, remember the word that I gave you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Fear not. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. On the other hand, or in the same way though, they kept my word. Those who believed kept my word. They'll keep yours. And then finally in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 2 of John, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he is doing God a service. So in other words, you're going to be persecuted. In fact, you're going to be killed. And so these things that Paul is sharing with them there in the first chapter of Thessalonians, third chapter of Thessalonians, which I managed to not put a marker in, is those things were going to come to pass because Jesus already told you that. Amen? So we know that. You're not suffering for the sake of suffering. You're suffering for the kingdom of God. Why are you suffering? Because of love. You're suffering because of the same love that Jesus had for all men. That's the same love you're suffering for because you possess that same love. I do? Absolutely. You do. You possess the same love that Jesus has. So it's not a matter of saying, okay, if you want to be in the kingdom, you're going to have to gear up for this suffering thing. Because, you know, God's kind of testing you, saying, kind of making you go through, see if you're worthy by testing you with suffering. Nonsense. The suffering and the persecution is not to test you to see if you're good enough and holy enough. Amen? The suffering and the persecution happens to those who believe that this world is not the end. That is not the end all. That this world is not the true world, but this world is passing away. And that the love of God in Jesus Christ demonstrated to the world is for them, and no matter how much they complain, no matter how much they rebel, that God still loves them. And your love is the same that Jesus has. Amen? It's not for you to do to measure up. It's the fact of you accepting the fact that you are no longer of this world and that you possess and walk in the same love for every man that Jesus did. Somebody say amen. See? And you begin to get used to that idea, is that I'm walking in love. It doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what people do. Doesn't matter how my flesh tends to get irritated at people. That's not me. That guy's dead. That irritated guy is dead. How many know that? Huh? The guy that the world irritates, that guy is dead. So no longer are you walking like this. And this is the testimony that these Thessalonians had all over their region. And that's what's exciting about this book. That's what's exciting about this letter. Some people think the most exciting part about Thessalonians chapter, 1 Thessalonians is chapter 4 at the end of the book, at the end of the chapter where he talks about, well, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Well, that's okay too. That's going to happen regardless. It's not something you have to concentrate on. He's just encouraging them. Yeah, that's going to happen. But here what he's encouraging them with is that how they are walking in the commands that Jesus gave. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So Jesus told the disciples of the coming afflictions, they're going to kill you. We must send someone. Verse 5. Now let's look at this in chapter 3 again. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I could no longer hold out because I love you so much. I care for you with such great care. I mean, though you're across the world, he couldn't even jump on a Southwest flight and get over there. Amen? In fact, just traveling there from Athens by foot is a trouble. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to you to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter might have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Or attempted you to draw back. Again, because, oh man, if it's happening to Paul, and man, I'm concerned that he's just, we love the guy, he is just, but I mean, God, can't you take care of your guy? You know, we're just all upset about the things. And again, you have to make a distinction, listen, between this world and the kingdom of heaven. This world is passing away. Therefore, your body and your outward man is passing away. Many times we have, there are people across the world today who are passing away for the sake of the gospel. Very few of us here is that happening to. We're more or less passing, we're generally passing away because of too much fried food, you know. And so the passing away here in this nation is not as much. However, what are we able to do? What are we able to, Lord, what can I do to minister to those across the world, to minister to those, to become involved and personally involved? You don't have to wait for some missionary that I know. Just find somebody. Find somebody to support. We have some brothers and a brother and sister who are down in Argentina who had built up a great work and had two small children in the process, and they were robbed twice in the last year at gunpoint, and violently, and all survived. And we lift them up. We pray for them. We love them. There are those. We have relationship with them. And it's so powerful to do, to connect with somebody who has a ministry in a part of the world that is suffering, that is having in trouble. And that connects me to them. Amen? Pastor Joel and 350, 400 kids that they're raising in that orphanage. How powerful is that? To raise them up, they're the best athletes and the best students in the entire country. The school is becoming self-sufficient, both for food and finances. And they're building up more agricultural areas, more buildings. When I say self-sufficient, what that means is they don't have to go in debt to pay anything, to pay for their to pay for these things. And so what we want to do is just encourage them and build them up and pray for them and have contact and email to them. And it's powerful to do these things. It's to have a connection with those people who are across the world. Who are suffering, who are having trouble, who are in trouble. So Paul said, for this cause I sent to know your faith. And if you'll go back and read chapters 1 and 2, is that Paul's great encouragement was I'm giving you a homework assignment, go back and read what we did a month ago, is how they were receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. Reading this, and to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter might have tempted you. Again, so in some ways, how many know you've been that there is a devil and he likes to discourage? Amen? You ever seen that? Amen? Well, the thing is, we know his devices, don't we? And we know when discouragement comes, we know where that's coming from. And we know that didn't come from me. That didn't come from my heart. So if a temptation or a discouragement is coming, who is that coming from? How many know you have an enemy? Huh? I said you have an enemy. And it's coming from him. It's coming from him. And what you begin to do in that case is you recognize what the enemy is doing and you turn on him. How do you do that? By beginning to worship. Granted, we have authority over the devil. Get out, devil. But you don't spend a lot of time there. What you do is get out, devil, and then you come back and begin to worship God. Huh? I mean, a lot of people want to have a lot of big, they want to have a tussle with the devil. I don't think it's good use of your time. Huh? I don't think it's a good use of your time. Come on, let's have a battle with the devil. What for? Jesus already defeated the guy. The fact is, you have to understand that the defeat of the devil, the best defeat you have, is to begin to worship God and to give praise and thanksgiving to God and begin to walk with Him and know exactly what He's calling you to do today in this hour, in this moment. Amen? Because otherwise, He's got you kind of running around in a circle. You ever seen that? Like your dog trying to get his rear end that he can't get because he's too short? We got one of those. Trying to, you know, get a something. Trying to itch a scratch you can't itch. You can't get to. That's you trying to get the devil off of you. Amen. You're just chasing your tail. And the devil said back going, "What's that?" Huh? I mean, I tell you what, the devil just loves that stuff. He just loves you to just run around. He just throws something out there in the water and let you chase the ripples. I want you to do that. I want you not to do that. Do not do that. I've done that. Don't do that. Is begin to worship the Lord. That's what he hates. Oh, gosh, he hates that. Because he knows he's irrelevant. Amen? I said he's irrelevant. How many want to make the devil irrelevant? Begin to worship God. Amen. Now, does that mean all your troubles are going to go away? No, but you're ignoring them. They don't run your life. They don't run your life. Who runs my life? Jesus. Not the devil's troubles. Because he likes to do that. He likes to get you involved, all involved in something else. So that you are absolutely worthless for 8 hours a day. I mean, how much of a time waster? Another one, remember I've said it before, I'll say it again. Guilt is another time waster, isn't it? People get guilty and they stay guilty for years. And what does that mean? That means they're absolutely worthless to God. I don't care. I can't do that. God just would never use me. Shut up. I don't mean to be rude. Why not? Is that because God is going to use you every time you just show your face. Amen? People just hole up. It's ridiculous. So he's the one who wants to know their faith. So that their faith has not been compromised. And what would that result in? Is that our labor would have been in vain. If the devil has got you twisting around in the wind, then our labor is in vain. It's not producing. The labor that we expended to teach you and bring you into the faith and to teach you how the Word of God is living in you and the Holy Spirit is taking you to great places to know Him, to know the kingdom of heaven. That work is in vain if you're bound up by guilt and condemnation and by, you know, the devil's devices. Verse 6, chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. But now when Timothy came from you to us, he came back and brought us good tidings of your faith and your agape love, your charity. That is, your giving, your love. And that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. So Timothy came back with a good report. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. I jumped forward. Last time we were together, I jumped forward onto that one to give you kind of a teaser for coming attractions. That, read it again. For now we live if you stand fast, firm in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. What thanks can we give to God for that? I mean, we're just at a loss. I mean, God is so good and so faithful to produce that. And in doing so, He's creating in us a worldwide network of love. And He did that from the very beginning. Amen? Thank God for the internet. Thank God for, sometimes thank God for Christian TV. Thank God for radio. But He ended up starting in the very beginning. I mean, God had a means of communication, didn't He? First of all, the Holy Spirit communicates. I mean, the Holy Spirit is powerful. It's awesome. But because He communicated all over the world. He communicated from one believer to another. He's been in business long before the internet. Long before the U.S. Postal Service. Amen? We are living in heaven. We are living in eternity. We are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hello? I said we're living in the age of the Holy Spirit. You know, people wanted to, many and many quarters of the Christian church want to kind of discount that and say, well, the Holy Spirit is good for getting you saved and getting you on board on your way to heaven, and then when Jesus comes, we'll see Him, and that'll be it, and the rest of you need to just preach the gospel until He comes, which is all good. But people have lost the fact that there is a power that is available to you to live in joy, to live in strength, to live in peace, and to cause a greater evidence of God's mercy and goodness as He is working in you. Now, verses 11 through 13, and I closed with this last time we were together, it says, is a prophetic blessing. When I say that, it's like the Aaronic blessing, and we see these from time to time in the Scripture. Whereas, for instance, the Aaronic blessing is, you know, now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. All right, now here we have this. Other item, this particular blessing, which is a blessing, but it is also a declaration. The blessing is a declaration of what God is doing and going to do and to produce in you if you will receive it. Now, God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. So He is declaring right now what God is going to begin and continue to do in them as they walk in the faith that He has provided through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and through the ministry of the apostles. And so this is an encouragement that we can always turn to, knowing what God is going to produce in us. Huh? This is our hope and this is our expectation. That's what hope is for you. Hope is a fervent, it's not a hope so, wishing and a praying. Amen? Your hope is not wishing and a praying. Your hope is a fervent confidence that God, what God has promised, He is able to perform. Even as Abraham. He said what God had promised, he had full confidence that he was able to perform. Isn't that true in you? What God, now, I know there's trouble. I know we got kids trouble, we got job trouble, we got marriage trouble that keeps cropping up somewhere, we got church trouble, we got all kinds of trouble, world trouble, political trouble, trouble, everywhere trouble. We got trouble everywhere. Amen? Got big bubbles and lots of troubles. But God is working and complete. In you, He's given hope and strength. And His love maketh not ashamed. You'll go over and read Romans chapter 5. He's shed the blood, love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. And that love does not make ashamed. That love does not have disappointment to it. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Now let's look at keep going here a little bit, and we'll go into chapter 4 some. Now furthermore, now from that point, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you. So we beseech and exhort you from that point. Now, having encouraged you with that, and that promise, and that prophetic encouragement, we beseech you and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. So in other words, how do we just keep increasing? How do we just keep increasing? I mean, we've come this far, and Paul says, here's how we just keep increasing. Now, we take a lot of time that scripture, those three words, how you ought. And we put that on as a burden. Anybody ever done that? How we ought. Here's how you ought to do it. Now we're going to talk about what you ought to do. All right? Put a little, here's the pressure. Now, okay, now let's look back over at chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Same chapter, same book, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And he's going to, so we want to reiterate what this is. Verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, how? As a father does his children. So we're exhorting you in discipleship and training. We're exhorting you as a father does his children. That, okay, here it comes, that you would walk worthy, okay, how you ought to walk. I'm just referring back to that verse 1 of chapter 4, back and forth from chapter 2, verse 12 to the one we're discussing. That you would walk worthy of God who has called you to His kingdom. For this cause, listen, also, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in also in you that believe. So our confidence, Paul's confidence here, is that same word of God that caused them to hear in the beginning and to cause them to receive the word in truth is going to not only keep them, but bring them along regardless of outward circumstances and what they may try to do and what the tempter may try to do, and that he's got a set of how you ought to walk. In other words, what ought is not how you ought to do it, but the what should be seen. This is when you're walking by faith, here's the evidence. Well, you can go to Galatians chapter 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is, I think Pastor Jim talked about it last week, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, faithfulness. There, here's the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now the other fruit, or the works of the flesh, are the things that come along because we did not believe the truth. Amen? They came along because we believed a lie and continued to believe that we're still of this world. We're looking at our bodies and looking at our faces in the mirror and say, oh yeah, I know you. Yeah. That's expected. No. What's expected is because we have hope and expectation that the Holy Spirit and the living God are producing in us that which He promised. So we're making a distinction, listen, between your spirit, always make this distinction, between your spirit, which is born from above, and your soul, which is coming along slowly. your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, the part of you that was actually raised and learned, taught how to operate in this world. When somebody punches you, you punch back. That's this world, right? That's how you were brought up. But now the Holy Spirit living in you is informing your soul. He's changing your soul. And we'll talk about that in a second. He's changing your soul. So that, he says, as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you abound in that more and more, by that you would walk worthy of God who has called you to His kingdom, because you received the Word of God as from God. Verse 2 in chapter 4. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Does anybody remember the commandments that Jesus gave? I'll give you a hint. There's two. What? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the two commandments that Jesus gave. Wasn't that easy test? That was easy. Yeah. For you know what commands we gave you by the Lord Jesus. So you have to go back and look at that specifically. Is that these are the commands. Is to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. For this is the will of God, even your, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now fornication can be, you know, physical sin. But fornication, in this, using this word, porneia, can also refer to all kinds of idolatry, all kinds of this world entertainment and things that draw you away from the kingdom of heaven. In other words, letting this world rule you rather than the kingdom of God. All right? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from, you could say, this world. That you should abstain from this world. Okay, now, that decision is, okay, God, you're going to have to do that. Because half of my mind is all broken up. I don't even know, you know. I was raised here, but I thank you that you are delivering me from every part of this world. That's what you're thanking God for, all right? How you ought to walk is thanking God for delivering you, not delivering yourself. Huh? I said not delivering yourself. Amen. Did you save yourself? Nope. Okay. Therefore, you will not be able to deliver yourself. What Jesus Christ began, what's He going to do? What? He's going to finish it. So, okay, Jesus got you going. He got your motor cranking, and now you're going to finish it, right? I don't think so. I don't think what Jesus began, you could finish. If Jesus began a race, I don't think you could finish it for Him. Amen? I think what He's going to do is what He began, and the Bible tells us, what He began, He's going to finish. So thank God. So you're beginning to thank God. How should you walk? Knowing that what God began, He's able to perform. What God began, He's going to finish. And so this is what I'm doing, is I'm receiving the Word of God as the Word of God from Him, and that is changing me. And that's what these Thessalonians were discovering. They were discovering. They were living like this. They were living like God was really going to come and live on the inside of them and actually change them. And we have gotten to where Christianity is preached in such a manner that it doesn't mean that you don't participate. When he says, you know, go this way, now if you don't go that way, then you run into other trouble, right? You run into other problems. So if you're not obeying, like if you don't obey the traffic light that says don't walk when it's red, what might happen? Ouch. You know, there are things we teach our kids don't do, because if they do it, it could cause problems. Amen? It could hurt you. You could like die. You know, it could be a problem for you. And God wouldn't get to use you because you're just stupid. Amen? And how many people ever knew kids that were stupid? How many people knew that you were stupid? You ever come across that? Huh? Hey, God likes stupid people. He saved a lot of them. Amen. And now he's training them. He's building them up. He's strengthening them. And listen, you don't have to do anything fancy. You don't have to look weird. Well, you'll look weird anyway. But God is going to do so many great things on the inside of you because you don't care if you look weird. You're going to look weird. If you think there's a God in heaven and you think that he's going to come and get you, you're going to look weird to these people. Amen? The thing is, it doesn't matter because I know it's true. And I know whom I have believed. And I know that he's able to keep that which he has committed unto me against that day. I love saying that one. I learned that a long time ago and just rattle it off. I know whom I have believed that he is faithful. And I'm having a good time. Have I backed off? Yeah, I have. Have you? Yeah. But God says, keep going. Keep going. Okay, now we're looking at verse 4. Okay, so verse 3 said, "For this is the will of God," here it is, "even your sanctification," your soul being changed. Not being, in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, "not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the" what? "Renewing of your mind, that you might demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." There's a growth pattern to it. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. "That you should abstain from fornication." In this case, that fornication is specifically talking about this world, the things of this world. That every, I'm not discounting the sexual sin, but it's inclusive in this particular use. "That every one of you," so that every one of you should know how to, this is good, "know how to possess his vessel." What's your vessel? Your body and your mind. That's your vessel. So, "and that every one of you should," this is so powerful, I love this, "should know how." Well, how do I do that? "Know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, purity, and holiness," separateness, being separated, sanctification actually being separated. Separated out from the other crowd. Amen? That's what God's done. It's separating you. But you tend to wander back over. You tend to get unseparated from time to time. Everybody notice that? You tend to get unseparated from time to time. You tend to congregate back with the other crowd. But God wants us to be separate so that we can have an effective and effectual ministry of the living God and the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus said this when he showed up. You remember? Here's what he said. "The kingdom of heaven has come nigh to you." The kingdom of heaven has arrived. So when Jesus shows up, he's baptized by John. The Holy Spirit comes and lights on him. And he begins to live and in the power of the Holy Spirit on the earth and go to the cross. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. That's the moment that the kingdom of heaven arrived on the earth, is when Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how to possess your vessel is exactly what they were doing to begin with. Remember back here where it said you received the Word of God as the Word of God and not the Word of men. Once you begin to receive the Word of God as the Word of God and not the Word of Pastor Jim, well, that's a good opinion. Yeah, I'd like to believe that. I'm not quite sure about all that. I'm not sure about how he read that other scripture over there. I always heard it was okay to do this and that. Give up all your preconceived notions. Give up all your this world idea. Amen? Because that's the difference. The difference is that God has come to make a distinction between this world and the kingdom of heaven. And it's not that, you know, he's coming down to beat you up, but the fact he's coming to set you free, to release you from all the stuff that you've been used to. I mean, you know, if you've been driving a clunker, you know, why not drive the best? Why not drive the kingdom, you know, live in heaven instead of living, you know, in the slums? You know, some people got what they consider good slums, you know, better slums. You know, they've got to move uptown. No, let's live in heaven. Let's live in the kingdom of heaven. But the thing is, we're afraid to do that because not everybody wants to go there. They're convinced that this is the best you can get. Not true. The best you can get is walking with the Lord Jesus. The best you can get is to live with the Creator of heaven and earth. That's the best you can get. And the enemy loves to do his very best to let you to have you think that there is nothing to it. That when you die, you just kind of turn into dust and disappear. That's the world's concept. And for them, that's true. Except for the fact that there is a judgment. Now, if you don't believe that, well, hide and watch. Yeah, I would encourage you, go ahead and just come along. But, I mean, you don't want to find out after the fact, because then it's too late to find out. But again, God is not... It's what happened is you took yourself out of the running. You've already made it. You then made your decision to not receive the salvation that God has offered. If you're on the way to running 100 miles an hour toward the Grand Canyon, you know, you don't have enough sense to put on the brakes, then there's not much you can do. I mean, you're determined. I mean, once you hit that, you're done. I mean, God's trying to tell you, listen to me. God's trying to tell you, come with me. Come with me. Not only is it beneficial in the long run, it's beneficial in the short run. Because you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory in this life as you begin to learn not to depend on this world. Listen again, verse 4 in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Well, I just can't help it. No. What happens is, where you begin is, God, I thank you that you love me, and I thank you that you're transforming me and changing me. I thank you that the Word of God is transforming and changing me. Then you begin to agree with Him, and you begin to take steps toward that goal. Now, you may fall. You may mess up. You may not get all the way there the first time. But that's okay, because Father, thank you that you love me and you forgive me and you're changing me and transforming me into your image. So that's what he's doing. And he's causing you to walk in love toward him and love toward your neighbor by trusting him. And again, let's talk about this whole idea that behind this is the Thessalonian church, where they took the Word of God as the Word of God. And not the word of men. Oh my gosh, there's a whole other page. Verse 5, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, in holiness and being separated from the world, and not in the lust of your passions, even as the Gentiles who know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter that has to do with business, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. We talked about that. It's already set in, the laws of God are already set in the world. In other words, if you decide to go against the laws of God, like I said with the canyon, you know, you've kind of breaking the law of gravity. You kind of deciding that I'm going to try this out on my own. It doesn't work out too well. That no man go beyond to defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. He therefore that despises, or he therefore that neglects this instruction, yeah, anybody but despises not man, but God, who has given us His Holy Spirit. So, in neglecting the laws that God set in place in the earth, number one, it's foolish. Number two, it's deadly. Number three, there are some that don't have an immediate effect. But as we know, having had relationships with people, that there are a lot of laws that are broken that end up having dire consequences in a couple of years or a few years. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you. For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it to all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Okay? Again, that was verse 10. But you look back at verse 1, he did the same thing. Use that same term. That you increase more and more. So in other words, the things that God began in you, let Him finish. Let Him finish. Because the Word of God is to you the Word of God. And that Word of God touches the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you and begins to make a manifest change. And see, because it's not up to you to change. It's up to you to get into the presence of God. I'm helping you here. Because so many people get stuck trying to change and get disappointed. If you'll come into the presence of God, worship Him, thank Him, praise Him, let Him do the work. That's knowing how to possess your vessel. That's knowing how to possess your vessel. Isn't it great to know how? There's a lot of things you want to know how to do. This is one of them. You want to know how to possess your vessel. To get a leash on that pup. You ever had a dog that just likes to run off? You want to get a leash on that guy so he doesn't run off. Your body and your mind tend to be like that. You want a leash on that pup. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that you study to be quiet. Whoa, this is funny. I love this one. You study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. That's rich. That is such a rich... Y'all need to write that one down. Can we make a... Go to Mardell and make that into a plaque. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That you may walk honestly toward them that are outside and that you may have lack of nothing. Whew. Ooh, what a promise is that? That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, those who are looking at you, those who are observing what is called the kingdom of God. So don't be a Christian carpenter or a Christian plumber. Just be a Christian. Be a believer. Just be a believer. Don't put a fish on your business just in case you decide to cheat somebody or not finish the work. Or a Christian lawyer. And is that an oxymoron? A Christian pastor might be. So that you may walk honestly toward them that are outside and that you may have lack of nothing. God's providing all of my needs. And I'm going to read just this, the end of it, without comment. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. That you sorrow not, even have as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, we rejoice today and thank You that Your Word is the Word of God. And Father, we thank You today that You are manifesting that transforming power through us by the Holy Spirit that You introduced at the supper to Your disciples. And You preached as well through Paul to the disciples and to the converts at Thessalonica, by whom to many, in many quarters, was demonstrated the love of God, and as we have received it today in the same way. So Father, I thank You today that You are doing mighty works in us and through us. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. Amen.